WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed Merry Christmas, or non-denominational holiday of your choosing. Welcome. It's one of our super special little tiny Satsuma-like podcasts that are nestling at the bottom of your Christmas sock. I think I made that intro through that intro okay. I don't know. I'm Dan.
I don't think you did.
Hello. That's Tim over there. Say hello, Tim.
Hello.
And Coleman.
Hi.
Can I just say, for you audio listeners, you are missing out on a fantastic, fantastic addition to Coleman's shiny dome, which is a very rakishly worn Santa hat, actually.
And it's funny because it's really hot in this room right now.
I'm also wearing a Christmas jumper. Best audio bit coming up ever.
Santa, yeah.
Santa.
So it's the head of Dan
and
the body of a plump Santa.
Indeed. Nice. Which until recently was the plump head of a Dan on top of a plump body of a Dan. But, you know, there we go. Christmas jumper off, chaps. Let's
Street
see what's
Fighter
going
2.
On. Very good.
I had the same jumper, so I have resorted to my Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Because...
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I was rummaging around in my cupboard, Timothy.
Is that a euphemism or
no? It's not a euphemism. And okay. I was like, where the hell is my Christmas jumper? And I could actually identify it by the scratchiness of it. This is 100% polyester.
Ooh.
And I may die because it's going to get so hot.
Well, we better get
here.
The episode over quick then.
Yeah, I know, right? So, chaps, 2020, what a year! What a great year to be alive. It's ending all right because Trump's buggering off. But it kind of... Yeah. It kind of sucked this year, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean...
Sucky
but
year.
At least Cyberpunk is getting refunds. So.
Yep. Wow, that's kind of awkward, wasn't it? I mean, for those of you who listen to the Cyberpunk show, which should be the previous one to this, I believe, yeah, we kind of did our usual podcasting thing of recording a show at precisely the wrong time.
Yep.
Well, I think our comments were still fair. Our comments are still valid. And, like, I think even more so in the light of the announcement. But unprecedented, no? Like, apparently other people were saying this has happened with one other game before when it was broken and disappeared. But
yeah, Afro Samurai 2.
That I heard Ash's Cricket, basically. 2013 or something. Anyway, but yeah.
Oh, that other entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. But nothing quite on this scale. And yeah, I've never seen Sony pull a game before. And a little bit of a downer way to kind of end the year of gaming, which was otherwise a reasonable year of games, I thought, kind of thing. That was the one good thing about a bad year, is at least it wasn't the worst year to be shut in.
I think all I would say about the year is 2020 is a year. Thank goodness, I think most of it was because a new console generation was coming up in kind of in a holding pattern. So there were no, it's kind of a lot of stuff just to keep the old platforms going and then stuff just to get the new consoles off their feet. So in terms of kind of like the big, most of the games that were due for release in this year, kind of the heavy lifting to a degree had already been done. Whereas I think if it was kind of like a mid-console cycle year with releases coming thick and fast, I actually think COVID would have had more of an effect. I mean, I think the biggest effect COVID's had is on console supply chains, like actual availability of hardware in terms of, you know, getting hold of a PS5 or an Xbox One Series or Xbox Series X or a graphics card. It's just been absolutely bonkers.
I just still don't think that we've lacked for games or gaming time this year. I think, you know, there's still been quite a good release of games. Games have done fairly well in the economy with lots of people, you know, having time on their hands to actually play stuff, and game sales doing all right.
Tim's had his Ghost of Tsushima, I've had my Marvel's Avengers, and Dan's had Animal Crossing.
It's all been great.
I played that for all of a hot fortnight. I mean, but the one thing that I have to say is because my man cave in which I sit as I record this has kind of become my office for work as well. And it's been a bit strange because I've kind of more or less transitioned over to PC gaming, that it's really hard having my chill out room also be my work room. and I'm having to be quite creative. Like I now make the lights go a different colour when it's time, when it's Funsies time, just to try and party get time. My brain to turn off. Exactly, so get the party lights going. See if I get the party lights going now.
When the sun goes down, it's party town.
Damn straight.
Yeah, but I've been working home a lot more.
You've been working home. Good.
Working from home.
Tim, go toilet.
I've been working from home a lot more and having a similar sort of thing. The one thing I will say about that is I don't have the longest journey to or from work in the world, but even I've managed to like go, okay, if I do manage to finish at 5 o'clock, which is not always on the case even when I'm working from home, but if I do, it's like 2 second walk to my couch and I'm playing games kind of thing, you know, like that's not too bad in that sense at least. But yeah, I do know what you mean. There's harder having a division of environment, and that's why I like having the consoles as well, like having that extra division between the device that you're working with and the device that you're playing on, sort of thing.
Well, everything's connected at my desk, so it doesn't really matter.
Everything connected to desk.
Yeah, I like playing video games at my desk, if that's console or whatever. I like being closer to the screen than being away on the sofa to the TV, so...
If you get a bigger screen, then
I don't care. I don't care about the bigger screen. I just it feels comfortable. And also, I do a lot of capture for the show as well, so it's all connected in one place.
But I'm going to stop playing about with my lighting now.
Please do, because
make for great audio.
It doesn't make for great video when it keeps messing about.
It's giving us a challenge. I mean, it doesn't make much difference because I think you'll find the auto white balance on many modern webcams means that you cannot notice the change in hue.
I noticed.
As it changes in the... What? Tim, wake up.
Yep, sorry.
You get to talk about games now.
Good.
Let's talk about games.
2020, what a year for games. What a year.
There's been some ups and downs.
And it's at this point of the year of games, which we've just come through, that we usually review the list of what we gave the kiss of death to last year.
Which was really difficult because, as we've explained on previous episodes, that means I have to listen to the previous year's podcast and then make notes of what the choices were and what have you, and then put it all together in the agenda. Last year, I don't know if you remember, my audio stopped recording towards the end of the show, so I didn't know what my picks were. And trying to get a year's worth of history out of Google Docs is not fun.
No.
And then I found like a random tweet somewhere. I went, if you were wondering what my picks were, they were this and this. I was like, yay, I found them. So...
And mine were just Destiny 2, Destiny 2, Destiny 2. Tim. Well, I mean, I think the elephant in the room, actually, before I pick on Tim.
Boy, I've lost weight.
Is that we were a bit of a triple threat for Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I mean, understandably.
And because we already put an hour's worth of episode out on the previous week's episode that we've...
This is true.
...gone into depth about Cyberpunk 2077.
We won't flog a dead horse.
We know what's happening.
Wow. Wow. I think we killed it, guys.
But as it's being pulled from the PlayStation Store, I don't know about PC just yet, possibly Xbox in the future, but it's hard to say because there was a lot of CD Projekt embed with Xbox over console leader and all that kind of stuff. A lot of money's got into that. I don't know if they'd be able to pull it from the store for that very reason, but if it does, then you do get your wish, Tim. You can put Cyberpunk 2077 as your one to watch for 2021.
But all joking aside, I think that's the year Cyberpunk's going to get good, so...
To be fair, who knows when the PS5 versions are coming out, or, you know, next-gen versions are coming out now that there's so many other problems. But hopefully we get a next-gen version of this next year as well. We shall see.
And also on the next-gen version next year list, there was a double dip between me and Tim where we both picked Marvel's Avengers.
Ooh, that didn't work out too well either, did it?
I really liked Tim preview, and I quite like it, but...
Well, can I just say, all right, so far, the game that all three of us went for has been pulled from a store. So the game that two of us went for, how much Dire Straits have we put this particular franchise in?
I believe it's losing. Yeah, it lost a lot of money. It hasn't recouped its development costs.
It didn't make its. Yeah, it didn't make its budget.
I'm sorry,
back.
I shouldn't laugh because it's people's jobs.
It didn't make its budget me, back. It had a huge fall off of incremental players. You pulled up the show stat. The stats on Steam at one point down, and they were really, really dire. I played a lot of this game. If it wasn't for other games coming out, I'd still be playing this right now. I do actually really like Avengers, and I need to get back in because the Kate Bishop stuff dropped like a week ago, and I really want to play that out. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I hope the low sales don't mean that somewhere down the line it's getting just completely pulled. Maybe if they retune it a bit. I don't know what the solution is for this, but I really like the game.
Good news, though, for Avengers. There's 871 people playing it at the moment.
There you go. Well, that's on PC.
Across the world.
Do you think it would have been better if they'd done it as a Stronger Division, sold it on a single-player game and then added the multiplayer to it afterwards, in the way it's sort of, you know, GTA to be a big example, but the way other people have done that sort of thing, do you think they would have had more success with that? Because it seems that the single-player bit's all right.
Well, like I said when the game came out, it feels like it was developed by two different studios, because when it starts out, the single-player stuff is very detailed, very in-depth, and then when you get a few levels in, then it turns into the kind of Destiny clone, and it is a dumbed-down version of Destiny. But I enjoy the single-player stuff, and I enjoy the multiplayer stuff, so I reckon if it was a single-player game more in the vein of, say, Spider-Man, it would have done very well for itself, because you've got this... It's the Avengers. You've got this huge name attached to it.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, it's a Marvel property, and it's on...
Never heard of it.
And I think the turn-off is that it went out into alpha, it went out into beta, people played it, they complained about it, the game came out, reviews weren't particularly kind to it because of the multiplayer stuff being, the games as a service type thing.
But there's other problems beyond that, like the enemy variety is not high or particularly inventive for the Marvel Universe sort of thing. Or
I get why they've done that, because, again, that's another big complaint, is people go, well, there's not enough enemies, and you've got this vast array of enemies to pick from out the Marvel Universe. It's like, yeah, but I get why they've done that, because they want to update the game further down the line, go, new characters, new bases, new enemies, new bosses, and if you shoot your load in one go, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, but also if you don't give enough in the first load, then you might not get to come back for the rest, kind of thing, you know?
God, oh, Jesus, guys. Cut off.
It is basically dumbed down Destiny, and that is why I like it. It's enough for me to carry on. Like, I can really get into this game and sink hours and hours. And I have. I've lost weekends and week offs and stuff to this game. But at the same time, I can take a break from it and then come back to it later and still, you know, suddenly not be under-leveled to the point where I feel like I can't really catch up and play this game.
Well, I mean, that's kind of, you know, is that kind of a bit of an underhand compliment, though, in some way? I'm just being awkward here.
Because there's
actually no progression in the game, that actually there's none of the kind of the FOMO, because nothing's really changing week on week.
Well, it is changing. They're constantly adding new levels and stuff in there for you to play. A lot of it is quite repetitive, but that's down to your personal preference and what you're going to enjoy. Personally, I really, really like this game.
But in terms, it's also one of its strengths, also one of its weaknesses. I mean, I think one of the things with a lot of kind of like massively multiplayer games, looter shooters in the vein of say, for example, I know Avengers isn't really a looter shooter. It's somewhere between Destiny and Diablo in many ways. But is the fact that because of the license and because the characters, due to that license, have to look a certain way, does that actually work against it? Because one of the things about, say, a game like Diablo or Destiny or World of Warcraft is that you get to make your character your own.
Yeah, that is an issue here, because, again, like you say, you can graft loot and stuff to your character, but it is just stat perks and stuff. It doesn't offer any kind of visual change. For that, you've got other costumes, and those costumes are very lackluster, considering the vast array of costumes you've got for each character in the past. And that was one of the things that kind of annoyed me about this game, was when they had their launches and stuff, they went, hey, to say sorry, we've given you a bunch of in-game space bucks to make premium purchases, and we've reduced...
Ooh, I like space bucks.
We've reduced all the costumes by 50% or something. Now, in the game, when you progress, you can earn the premium currency through doing hero cards and stuff, and that's what I've been doing, and I've been buying all the premium costumes by earning them in-game. But then they've gone, okay, here's now a discount for everyone that wants to jump in or didn't spend any money and stuff. I was like, well, I've sunk all these hours in, got the premium currency, spent it on these costumes, and now you're saying if I held out by a couple of weeks, I would have saved 50% and been able to get more of the costumes.
Twice as much, like, yeah.
It's a bit of a kick in the dick for someone who got it day one.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm still enjoying the game, and now I'm going to go for my Cyberpunk refund. I think I may have more time on Marvel. Yeah, I think so. I'm umming and ahhing over it. Buy a better game.
And it's probably going to be cheaper in the future.
That's it as well. Anyway. Marvel's Avengers.
Merry
Tim
Christmas,
didn't buy it.
Everyone.
Now it's super cheap, Tim. Can you pick it up so we can play? Please.
Pick up what? Sorry, Marvel.
Marvel's
yeah.
Avengers. Now you're not playing Cyberpunk.
I am tempted to pick a copy up if I see it cheap over Christmas. I may do so. There's a few games like I've seen that Immortals Phoenix Rising. Is it the what they changed Gods and Monsters to? That's gone very cheap on Switch and other formats at the moment. So I was half tempted by that, but
I've heard there's a moderately good reason why that might be cheap. But
it looks like it might be fun, but we'll see. Couple of bad picks, but then between us, we did okay. I mean, Dan.
Yeah, so we're now onto the bits where only one of us picked it, which means that the chances of it crashing and burning this particular game are a little less, or were a little less.
Unless you're Coleman, generally, but he did all right with his other one.
Tim's third one is Ghost of Tsushima, which we'll leave because that, you know, that's in the next section. And also,
I'm very happy with that pick, let's say that much.
Yeah, and yeah. I picked Final Fantasy VII Remake, which again, we'll skip because that's probably going to be in the next section.
Yeah.
How did you fare, Dan, with your other two picks?
So Ori and the Will of the Wisps is I'm going to talk about in a bit more depth in a couple of minutes. But I also managed to pick Watch Dogs Legion, which is kind of, I think it was, but it was because of the setting. It was because I was so familiar with London. I think I just got carried away with myself.
The setting, Dan? You mean City of Cobbles?
Yeah,
you mean England's armpit? You mean the Queen's old gaff.
The lean-to of wet dreams. Yes,
the old mucky gherkin.
The old festering halibut. Yeah, love it.
Well, when we were both talking about this for the Watch Dogs review episode,
yeah,
it was funny because I believe I kind of alluded to, hey, this game's out way too close to Cyberpunk with a similar setting. Like, get this if you want.
Well, there's a solution to that.
At least it works.
If you want your Cyberpunk fix before Cyberpunk, then probably go with this. But you could probably wait and just get Cyberpunk and then pick this up down the line. Now it seems maybe wait for Cyberpunk to get fixed and you can pick this up if you really want because it performs a lot better.
I don't know. I think with Watch Dogs Legion, I think if you're not familiar with London and get a kick out of seeing London as a bit of
London.
A kind of technological playground. London.
Do you ever get to Camden?
Yeah, I did. It didn't take long, which
most
was
of it's in Camden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Camden. It's Camden. It's Camden Market. It's definitely Camden Market.
It's Camden Town. You slags.
But it takes about 20 seconds to get from Euston to Camden Town.
Oh. On foot.
Which, there you go, that's not right. But anyway, I mean, I think if it wasn't for the setting, I don't think I really would have given this game the time of day as it plays. I think they've made some tweaks and they've made some optimizations. I'm looking forward to going back to it over Crimbo, but I think it was a bit style over substance, sadly. They made big promises with this game and didn't quite deliver or didn't quite nail the landing as well as they had to, I think.
I've seen a lot of people put on Twitter that they've refunded their Cyberpunk copies on PlayStation and then picked up Watch Dogs as it's cheaper at the moment, which, yeah, again, I...
They may not have stuck the landing, but at least they didn't T-pose naked on a motorbike through the city and then spiral out of control the landing.
Or
so,
what
you know.
I like to call Wednesday.
To me, it was a Wednesday.
Right, so and my other one was Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Yeah, that was a bit of a...
we're going to talk about.
Absolutely cracking.
Cracking game. So, so that was our aspirational picks for 2020. But it's always fun to actually go, well, now that we've thought about things and we've actually played the things, what were our top picks of 2020? So, Tim.
Yeah.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah, like...
Tsushima.
I talked about recently on the show, completed the game. It's a fantastic game.
Off.
It looked visually fantastic throughout. Helped that I upgraded my TV and it looked even better. And then, yeah, looks and performs even a bit better on the PS5, but only not very noticeably because it was performing so well before. It's rare that an open world game kind of grabs me as much, but it's a slightly different setting, a setting I'm really interested in, the kind of feudal Japan type setting. The game from start to finish was really good. It was big, but it didn't feel overly bloated, and the fact that you can go back and finish off bits afterwards and stuff, I think, was good. I haven't really dipped into the multiplayer yet. I would like to do that over Christmas. Coleman, I believe we've got an overdue date to do that at some point.
You keep signing me up for this, forgetting that I've actually got a lot of busy work on at the moment in and outside of my actual job. So.
Well, no, look, there's someone else who wants to play with us. I'd like to play with him and you at
some point.
Friend
of the show, Richard, from Ready Player 2.
Yeah, trying to coordinate so that we can do that.
It would be fun.
Like the fact that massive single player game, and have added a multiplayer component that looks quite good fun and looks like something worth jumping in and messing about with. I wasn't even expecting the multiplayer portion on top of it, and I'm really happy with just the single player portion as it was. And the story's fantastic. The acting and voice acting and everything is great, but I can't really find much fault with the game. One of the most visually stunning games I've ever played, I think, as well. Like, I don't think I've paused to take photos as much in any other game ever, basically.
Spider-Man.
Possibly Spider-Man.
Yeah, but Cyberpunk, but that's only because it renders the game at 3 frames a minute. So
I keep taking physical photos from my camera to the screen to go,
you bloody hipster.
Bloody crash screen.
Yeah, blue screen of death. But that's the other thing as well. From a technical standpoint, from a aesthetic standpoint, just everything, like everything about the game, like, is just top notch and enjoyable to play and well put together and stylized and impressive.
I need to get back to it, but I'm holding out for when I event, you know, in the year 2027, when I do finally get a PlayStation 5.
Yeah. I think they'll be in stock then.
But I advise possibly doing that as well, because it looks fantastic as well on the PS5.
I just want that high frame rate, you know.
It just looks great and plays really well. And I'm not sure exactly at the moment, but I think it could have ousted God of War as my favorite game of all time.
Wow. Okay.
And that's before touching any of the multiplayer.
And we'll have to find that out on a future episode.
Yeah.
All right. What was your second pick, Tim?
My second one was from earlier in the year. I had to double check because it's a little bit of a cheat. Because it was originally released in PC,
not really
on
a game.
PC, and then on consoles, like in prior years. But it did come out on the Switch, which is where I played it, and that's Thronebreaker: The Witcher's Tale.
I have a question.
Yes?
Can I therefore include Tetris as one of my games of the year, because that was released on the Switch this year?
Well, Tetris Effect. As I said, a little bit of a cheat, but I did want to give a nod because it's a fantastic little game. Really enjoyed it. Played it from start to finish.
It was released in 2018, Tim. Jesus.
So I said, that's why I said previous years. PC, it was released in 2018, the end of 2018.
I've got to start tightening up on these rules. If Dan's not allowed expansions, you're not allowed ports.
Classic, Tim. All right, so it was released on Windows in 2018. It was released on the PS4 and Xbox One. In 2018.
If I can't have that, I can put other things in. But it was one of my favourite games of this year. And I played it on Switch because that's where it came to. And I think it's a very good fit for Switch as well, in terms of a good game to play on the go and to pick up and down.
How do you pick something down?
Pick something down.
Yeah, pick something down.
It was kind of an expansion of Gwent, which was the card game in The Witcher, and I really enjoyed the card game in The Witcher, played too much of it to actually progress much in The Witcher 3, but then it was a really good expansion to that, added a bit of story onto that, was really interesting. Available in multiple formats and definitely worth picking up still, I would say, especially if you've more recently come to discover The Witcher through the TV series or other stuff as well.
Still need to watch that.
Even though I don't think it was them directly, but it was a good release from CD Projekt Red this year, basically.
I think it was their B-team.
Or in 2018.
Well, they released it on Switch this year, so hey.
What's your third choice, Tim?
And if not, Star Wars Squadrons gets in there anyway. But my third choice, I flipped and flopped on this a few times. Ghost of Tsushima is head and shoulders above most of these, I have to say. But my third choice was Dirt 5, I think, in the end. In terms of which game from this year, if I was sitting down and I would like to pick up and play and just have fun with, Dirt 5 is a fantastically enjoyable game. Really good driving game. Looks absolutely fantastic. One of the best looking driving games I saw on last gen. And looks really good. It looks even better going into this gen as well. So a really good one for showing off your console.
Would you say this is the best EA property this year?
Oh, snap. I was going to do it in before EA have bought Codemasters. I am conflicted about that.
It means we may get a good Need for Speed game this year. Or, well, no, in 2-3 years. But yeah,
give Codemasters Burnout.
Yes.
Oh, do that, mate.
Specifically, yes. The team that worked on Onrush.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a few of them have left, I think, but some of them moved on. But yeah, whichever, that give those guys Burnout, please. Yes, please.
Yeah. But the one thing I would say about Dirt 5 is that it did get it slightly mixed reviews. Inside, I mean, if you like your arcade racing, it's great. But if you look after a more sim-based experience,
if you're more of a virtual gearhead,
but I really do enjoy arcade racing. I really do like rally more than anything else. And this was a really good example of it. And also, it's got like one thing I didn't really cover in my review very well, but it's got various different disciplines. The sprint races, the only ones I didn't like, but all the other ones, like the like sort of cliffhanger stuff and like the ones where you're kind of going in a specific vehicle doing a crazy like uphill course and stuff like that, and some of the truck ones are a bit slow and boring, but generally yeah, it's just a really enjoyable arcade off-road kind of yeah game that kind of just hits the nail on the head for exactly what I want out of a driving game basically. So yeah,
fair enough.
My go.
Yeah, Coleman.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yours is a bit of a PlayStation greatest hits of 2020, I have to say.
PlayStation's been my main console of choice this year, I guess. So, first of all, I'll start off with a PSVR title, Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, which I've spoken about on this show. It was a game that kind of... and I think, Tim, do you know what? I think this is a bit of a cheat because it might have come out on the PC last year. No, I think it came out on PC this year.
Don't make me look. I will look.
I know you will look. But yeah, this came out on PSVR this year, and I'd seen some preview content about it that made me interested, and also my girlfriend's a huge Walking Dead fan, and now I've quite got into it because of her constantly having it on and stuff. But anyway, yeah, Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners puts you in the game, not in the comic series or the Telltale series or the TV series. It takes off on its own little thing in New Orleans, I believe it is.
New Orleans.
During the whole Katrina floods and stuff. It's got a unique setting to it. In terms of a VR game in itself, it's like playing an RPG, but you're the character going out, questing, scavenging, finding things, crafting. And I don't want to use the journalist word, but I'm going to have to.
Is it visceral?
It's very immersive.
Oh, immersive. I think you're going to go visceral.
Wow, that is a hop, skip, and a jump away from an emotional rollercoaster.
I'll use this one for a next one. Anyway, yeah, I really like this game, and I had no idea that this would be preparation for the rest of the year 2020.
And can I just say, Tim, Colm's just shown you how it's done, all right? That was all platforms released in 2020. All right?
Okay. Yeah, I think
all
it
right,
was,
just...
was it January in PC and then
yeah, January
March
23rd.
In PlayStation or something. Yeah. My second choice, which is, it's a little bit of a cheat. It's Witcher 3, but I only just got it this year for PC. So
see, that's different. Like,
my
the game
was
released
on the
this
combat
year.
On the Atari 2600. I never played it until this year.
Anyway, yes.
You idiot,
Tim. My second one, I'm going to pick The Last of Us Part 2.
Yes,
which
I still haven't played. Should I?
Yes, I think you should, especially if you didn't like the first one, because it's a lot better, I think. And that's controversial to a lot of people, especially if they're huge The Last of Us fans.
I have a question.
Yes?
Is The Walking Dead and Walking Dead Part 2 not absolutely jonesing for a kind of a redo, double header on the PS5 at some point soon?
My other part to that is I'm like, well... how soon is it going to come to PlayStation Plus, which is, I don't know.
Well, that's a very good point.
Well, I don't know. I don't know these things, Tim.
Shame.
Sure. Oh, wait.
Hang your Santa hat in shame.
Shame.
Doesn't quite have the same... It's not quite the same bell, is it?
Shame.
It doesn't
right.
ring them up.
Let me talk, damn it, or it's gone forever. So Last of Us Part 2. I enjoyed The Last of Us to a point. I was excited about this game because it's in the same kind of engine, same teams and people behind as the Uncharted games, and I love the Uncharted games, so when I saw that, I went, more Uncharted with zombies! I'm for that! And... upon playing went, oh no, this is more stealth, miserable, bleak, and it's all there. I should have seen it going in, but I found it quite slow and repetitive and boring, and to the point where started playing it on the PS3, finished it on the PS4 towards the end of the PS4's life cycle. I think it was last year I actually finally finished that game. So when the second one came out, again, only picked up. Girlfriend's a huge fan of The Last of Us. Picked this one up. She was a bit upset that the multiplayer isn't included in the second game, although rumors might be on PS5. I wanted it more for the story stuff. Thought I'd give it a go as I'm getting it for her anyway, and ended up really, really enjoying it. Not for so much the story, but the gameplay was a lot more improved. They've taken this where I was playing the first game and going, I just wish I could run and gun a bit at this point, or I wish like the stealth was better for this point, or I wish, you know, I wish things were a bit smoother. All those kind of prayers were answered, and it took the kind of person that's hardcore into The Last of Us and made you go, hey, here's a more arcadey Last of Us. And I went, yes, that is definitely what I wanted. So you can do the same stuff, but you can muck around with this game a lot more. So Last of Us for the rest of us, I believe I called it on the review show previously.
Very droll, call man.
Thank you, Daniel.
Very droll.
Yes. I have problems with the story. I think there are plot holes big enough to ram the Titanic through, but the game itself, I enjoy playing the game.
Okay.
Lovely. That's an image.
And lastly, I picked Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales. Even though this is a PS5 launch title, it's available on the PS4 as well. I won't go into it too heavily because it wasn't that long ago we were talking about it on the show, but absolutely loved this game. Didn't have a problem with it being shorter than Spider-Man. I felt it was a perfect length for this game, especially when I don't have that much time. I'd play an hour of this each morning and, you know, it filled up a good 2 weeks. Really enjoyed it. Still got some I think I've done all the side stuff. I've got some achievement, platinum-y stuff to... I've got a platinum chase to go, but I'm going to wait for the PS5 before I do New Game Plus and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, this as a... I mean, not even as a 1.5, as a sequel to Spider-Man, I am super happy with this game and urge everyone to go play it.
I love this game, and it was really enjoyable to play through, and it's really good. When I'm picking these things, I try and pick out my like standout memories for the year.
I have a question. Is that pick up or pick down, Tim?
Pick down.
Were you picking it down?
Picking it down.
I like it when I put up things. Actually, you can put up things.
No, when picking like games for this, I try and pick out my standout memories and the things that I think in future years I will remember as, you know, standout memories. Star Wars Squadrons could have got in there, and like Mario Kart at home circuit could have got in there as well.
How have you ended up talking about your games when this is Coleman's bit?
Yeah, this is my go, and you're turning it around to
my point.
Slag.
Spider-Man Miles Morales, I liked it, and I liked the character, and I liked the gameplay, and as you say, I'm not that overly bothered about it being a bit shorter as well. Part of my problem with Final Fantasy VII Remake is it went on forever when I was expecting it to be possibly short, but Miles Morales, at this point, I don't think it will stand out in my memory as much because I'd already played a lot of Spider-Man.
So with that in mind, Coleman, what set it apart for you? What made it worth the time?
Specifically, because they didn't... I mean, I don't mean that they dragged it out in the previous game, but because it was a shorter story, it felt like the writing was punchier, it was snappier, it was to the point, because they, you know, they had a set limit on what they were doing with this game. I found the writing with the story a lot better. I found that a lot of the characters were better defined. Found that there were moments in this game, whereas in the first game, they brought moments in to make you try and get you empathetic on side with the character and stuff. I think it worked better in the second game than the first game. I think a lot of it is down to writing and story beat moments because, I mean, I welled up at the end of this game and I had moments where someone would, you know, throw away a piece of dialogue that would be cheesy in a superhero movie, and you go, oh, that's a bit, you know, bougie, as they say now. But in this, I went, oh, that's really good. I really like that. And yeah, hair stand on the neck kind of
thing. Yeah, but what if they updated Peter's face?
I think he looks too young to be the Peter Parker of this game, but at the same time, I don't really care. I wasn't sold on the first face. He's gone from generic Andrew Garfield to generic, what's his name? Other kid.
Tom Holland.
Nathan Drake. Yeah. Anyway.
Can I just say that is a that mystifies me, that bit of casting, but never
mind. No, young Nathan Drake, and they can go through and make a whole series of it and make the new Indiana Jones better than Indiana Jones is making Jones.
You cast young, and then you can keep on going. I think that was the idea with River of the Phoenix in Indiana Jones, to do some side stuff with him, but then, you know.
And hey. Was it in 2 or 3 they had the flashback of him when he was younger as well?
That's 3, Last of the...
3.
Yeah.
Last Crusade? Yeah, River Phoenix. Anyway, that's all my picks.
Splendid. Yeah, yeah. Well, I can do mine nice and quick. Show Timothy how it's done.
Oh, good.
Please do.
Right. So, Ori and the Will-O-The-Wisps.
Now, Dan, I hear you talking about Ori, but I'd like to pick another three games that I also liked. The first being Star Wars Squadrons.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, no.
Tim,
talk to me about Ori.
Can I just say, even for you, Tim, that was pretty spectacular.
Am I not allowed to mention other games while making points just because there's three games we're going to mention?
No.
What?
No. You've had your chance. Shut
it's
up.
It's not like I discussed the other games. I just mentioned them while making a point. Anyway.
Dan.
Anyway, Ori and the Will-O-Wisps.
Thank you.
There we go. Ori and the Will-O-Wisps has got a couple of gongs for Game of the Year from a couple of outlets.
Sorry, a couple of what?
A gong. A couple of gongs.
I don't have a gong. I've got a clang.
There we go. That is that's
got a bell.
That didn't sound like a clanger. That clanger didn't come from the moon.
So yeah, I know, but
yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, so it's a great game. It's a lovely game. It's a beautiful game. It's much like, I mean, it's a bit of an update on obviously the first Ori game, but it's just so beautifully and lovingly crafted and just holds together so well. The platform, if you like platforms, Tim, you probably
and it has
like
an
it,
owl.
Tim loves platformers.
I've played it. I quite like it. I can see why it's a good game and I can see why you'd pick it. Like,
yeah, I think it's, if you like kind of it's very immersive, the world that it's in, because I think the art style is just so beautiful. It is just such a beautiful game, and it's just a fun world to interact with. And I think a lot of Metroidvanias, again, for want of a better way of putting it, they're quite staid and kind of quite dry, the world in which they exist.
And they don't glow.
No, they don't glow. There's a lot of glowing in Ori. And, you know, actually it tells a very nice story as well. And the difficulty is pretty much bang on. It's not an easy game. You think, oh, look at the cute little, look at the woodland animals. It's going to be, why is it biting my face off? It is pretty much the...
That was a big comment on the first game, I think, as well. Yeah.
But, you know, I've absolutely loved Ori and the Will-O-Wisps. I think it's still on Game Pass as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because it's exclusive, so they've stuck them on... I think they're both on Game Pass indefinitely.
Yeah, so it is, you know, if you've got Game Pass, obviously it's not free because Coleman will start going on a rant if I say that. But it's...
Look at all the free movies on Netflix! They're just giving them away!
For £7.99 a month.
For free,
yeah.
Dan!
But yeah, I mean... I don't think there's too much more I can say in the time we've got left. Thanks, Tim. You know, it's a great game. Go pick it up. It is a wonderful game. You can just dip in and out of. It's very relaxing, but challenging as well. So, you know, love it. Great game. Next up, Hades.
This is one I want to play.
This was on my list until I saw you put it on yours, and I thought we'd have some diversity this year, so I'd move things around.
We thought we'd have a bit of bant about it. So Hades by Supergiant Games came out of early access towards the end of this year, available on PC and Switch, and cross save is now active. So there is now, I now have the option to, if nature feels like it's knocking on the door while I'm sitting in front of my PC and I need to go and drop Mr. and Mrs. Brown off at the Lido, I can take my Switch with me onto the porcelain throne and continue my gaming.
TMI.
It'll be a beautiful thing.
I don't know if this is going to apply because this episode is going to come out on Christmas Day, I think. But on the Switch, they've heavily discounted it as well. It's like $17.99 now.
Yeah, there's a massive sale going on Switch if it's still, you know, if it still is. I mean, yeah, I think some of those sales are going on until January. But no, Hades is a great game. I've gone very rogue. It's a kind of a roguelite-y type affair. I seem to be going down these tropes with Metroidvanias and roguelites. But, I mean, it's a really, really nicely done game. Again, the art style is fantastic. Kind of really captures almost like a kind of a late 80s, early 90s kind of graphic novel feel to its styling. Really well written and kind of narratively goes in a direction that you wouldn't expect. And there's, because of all the power-ups you get from these different Greek gods, they are suitably different to make each playthrough actually fairly unique, and you find out some pretty fun combinations along the way. And I think, again, the difficulty's being calibrated about right.
Stellar voice acting in that game as well.
Couple of misbeats with voice acting, I thought.
Better than Keanu Reeves.
Well, yeah, this is true.
That's all you need, really.
Yeah. Yeah, again, another great game.
Yeah.
You should go play it.
And you can,
now available for toilet-based games.
Solid banger.
Talking of bangers, F1 2020, bangers, because bangers are cars.
Oh, yeah. Second appearance of Codemasters this year.
That's how you segue, suckers. That's how you segue.
That was the wrong one.
Right.
I was meant to hit this one.
Yes. It is your boy.
I got my horns mixed up, sorry.
F1 2020, I mean, to all intents and purposes, I was expecting another very formulaic entry into the Formula One universe.
Formulaic
one.
Oh, all right, steady on. But they really packed a lot of new stuff into this game, like the being an owner, driver-manager of your team, which actually really brings in, makes it feel a lot more personal, because I think one of the issues with the other... with the previous entries in the Formula One franchise is that because they control the IP so tightly, you couldn't really customize the game and your car to yourself. It was like, you know, although you were ostensibly sitting in a car, it would be a car that had Lewis Hamilton plastered on the side of it, for example.
Well, it's like his face.
Yes, that's what they smeared him at high speed across the side of his
oh
Mercedes.
My God, this is horrific. I know. Although I know what I'm now designing in the next Forza.
Well, that's all right. I'm, you know, glad to be a service. I mean, obviously you're going to enjoy it most if you like Formula One, which I do. But it's Cody's again, who are going across to the dark side with EA. I mean, again, it's a beautifully crafted game. It gets a lot of stuff right. You can, although it's not full on sim, you can really kind of tailor the difficulty to your liking. And, you know, it really, the having your own, not only your own career mode, but your own team mode really brings a lot of extra depth to the game. And there's all of the Formula 2 series in there as well.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to go a bit slower than the fastest you could go.
but the cars control beautifully, really well, and it's just a really fun game to pick up and play. And there's still like constant weekly challenges, leaderboards, multiplayer leagues, all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of content there, and I think that's probably due a Christmas price cut. I was so pleasantly surprised with Formula 1 because I was expecting it to be just the same old
year
stuff,
release, yeah.
Suck that game, but genuinely they've clearly put a lot of thought into this game, and it's a real joy to play.
I think it shows the difference between the type of racing games that you like and the type of racing games that I like. We chose slightly different ends of the scale in terms of you going a slightly more sim and track. And me
we've all got
down,
our variants with driving games, because Dan likes his sim games, Tim likes his more arcadey, but you like the rally games. I like the arcadey, but I like the street games. So
there we go. So that's it. That's 2020.
That is, I don't know about you guys, but I think that's a really decent list of 9 games to have a look at came out this year, and one that came out 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I have a question about that then. What about a game that's just been released now that we haven't been able to talk about this year?
No, it doesn't count.
Does that count for this year or next year?
That's a this year game.
That's a this year game.
Well, then I might have to mention Grindstone because I'm really enjoying that so far.
Well, you that just mentioned it.
It's a great little game. So there you go.
Dan, don't let him talk anymore. Out. Dan, wrap it up. Come on, let's go.
All right, Tim, we can talk about that next year. It's fine.
But you've been playing that as well now, Dan. I think that's really good.
But
so,
that's
yeah.
the time for a thing for
I know,
another day.
I know.
Oh, shut up. Timothy, shut up. All right. There we go.
Slag.
All right. So that is your lot. We're going to talk about 2021 next episode because that's the year which we are crowning our way into.
Ooh, that's not the nicest phrase.
Well, you know. After the utter bowel movement that was 2020, frankly, 2021 can't do much worse. So we'll speak to you next episode. Make sure you go to www.bigredbarrel.com. And if you've got time, there's a link to our Discord on the front page. Click that, pop in, say hello. And we will probably say hello
Christmas.
And other things back to you. We will say things back at you. So it'd be lovely to see you there. Also, www.facebook.com/BigRedBarrel and twitter.com/BigRedBarrel. All places where you can come and be all super social with us in a COVID secure manner, which is all we really want after all. So anyway, that's been the show. We're going to finish this particular one and maybe record some more. Who knows? So all that really remains is for me to remind you, I have been Dan.
I might have been Tiny Tim.
I have been Christmas Coleman.
Hey.
Yeah, you have. I've been... No, there's not really anything that kind of...
Well, in the New Year's episode, you can be Danuary.
Hey.
Oh. There you go.
Oh. All right, then, I'll take that. All right, so we're...
You look so pleased with that.
I am Mr. Danuary. So we're going now. Toodaloo. Thanks ever so much for listening. Hope you have wonderful, safe, COVID-secure holidays, and we'll speak to you soon. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.